Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 205, the stanzas 8, 10, and 13. O God, thou art our King of old, as salvation thou hast wrought, in safety through the mighty sea, our fathers thou hast brought. And what follows, Psalter 205, the stanzas 8, 10, and 13. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Song of Solomon and thereof chapter 5. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink ye, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, a dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings, as set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, as set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Paul Vandenbroek, who were blessed with the birth of a baby daughter, and Nathan Vanderveen, who was in the hospital with a head injury, but is home again, and Miranda Vandenberg, who hopes to commemorate her 19th birthday and the day of tomorrow. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy providence and in thy great mercy that thou hast granted unto us and our children another Lord's Day, a soul's marked day. Then thou granteth on this beautiful day that thou granteth the opportunity that the doors of thy house have been opened. And then in the realm of nature, then between the earth and the sun, between the earth and the heavens, there lieth nothing between. And so it was in this state of rectitude, when thou hast created our first parents in thy image, there was nothing in between. But, O Lord, we have sinned, and may that be or become our burden, a sin that brings wrath upon us, sin that offends thee, that wounds our consciences, and brings much reproach upon the gospel. O Lord, then thou hast carried each and every one of us upon the wings of mercy, and the week that is so quickly run its course. Wilt thou then grant a humble and a broken heart, so many mercies for a people that commits so many sins, an unthankful people? Lord, may then there also be a bowing of the heart, and a little bewonderment with that vehement desire, that thou may be honored and glorified indeed. Then we and our children, each and every one of us, have come 1 week or closer to that final meeting with our Maker, and impress it upon all our hearts that we cannot meet thee as we are born, but that a wonder needs to take place. Then in this morning hour, then we have already heard of that wonder with the introduction to thy holy law, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Lord, then we are called each Lord's Day to examine our hearts, whether that eternal wonder has been glorified in our hearts, that we have been brought out of that house of bondage, and that a need has been born for that precious mediator that may stand between us and man. Then on this day in a special way, then we may also remember what thou hast done in the days of old in the midst of the church, where thy church was so enclosed with Egyptian darkness, that there was much error, that there was much deceit. There was darkness, there was discouragement, but, Lord, then it was thy time, and it is written in thy word, I, the Lord, will work, and who will let it? And then the glorious gospel, as it is in Jesus Christ, it was proclaimed to the masses by renewal, and many needy souls were brought to the glorious liberty of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Lord, we humbly ask thee, and may it please thee in this dark, in this solemn, and in this evil time, to do the same. Work wonderfully in the midst of us and our children. Then we may acknowledge thee, that heritage that has come on the foreground in the time of the Reformation, that truth may still be amongst us. But, Lord, it is necessary that by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that truth may be experienced, and that truth may make us free. To that end, in this morning hour, then we humbly beg of thee that thou may bless thy word richly, to show unto sinners that they are in that house of bondage, and if they are not delivered, that they must perish miserably and eternally. And therefore stretch out thy almighty arm. Bless thy word, that sinners may be converted by thee unto thee. That they may be placed in their need, in their guilt, and in their missing. Thou knowest How that each and every one has spent the week. How we have risen in this morning. May many sighs have been sent unto thee, the living God, that thou may work wonderfully. And Lord, where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant those further leadings. Oh, we have heard out of thy word of daughters of Jerusalem. We have even heard of a bride that was slothful, but where she has come in a need, a great need, an unbearable need, and where she was given to use the means, that she may find and experience thy loving kindness by renewal. Lord, remember so thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Wilt thou remember our many blessings? They are manifold and great indeed. Were we and our children, where we may have a dwelling, a food and drink, a bed to sleep upon. Oh, many blessings that we think so little of, and which so many of our fellow travelers must miss. Then we still have a house of God that we may gather in. Lord, may it then be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us and our children to repentance. Then on the past Sabbath day, it is pleased thee to bless a father and mother by renewal in their married life, with the birth of a little child. Ah, thou wast spared life, and thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart? But all the blessings have been multiplied, but also the responsibility to that end. May many prayers be sent up for their little one, that it may be a child born to be born again. Wilt thou further strengthen the mother? We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them and make all things well? We remember the grandparents that have received another blessing and a greater responsibility. Lord, wilt thou remember all the afflicted ones, a young son that has received a head injury, was in and out of the hospital this week. He has spent different days in the hospital with pain in his head. He was privileged to return home, Lord. May it please thee to grant further healing. Wilt thou remember his parents, the family circle, and that this special calling? Where thou art saying, my son, give me thy heart, that it may be used to that end. Lord, remember all the afflicted ones, the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the crosses and the burdens. Remember the handicapped ones. Then in the day of tomorrow, a young daughter hopes to remember and commemorate in the midst of her family circle, that thou shalt add another year unto her years. Lord, then it cannot be different, and there are times discouraged where she is different than other young people. But may there be times that she may be given to see her many blessings that thou granteth unto her. So we commend her unto thee for her body and also for her never-dying soul. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy blessing in this morning. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee, and that every time is a new time. But may our help be in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and of the earth. Oh, who has promised, he who has called, he is faithful to that end. O wilt thou anoint us with fresh oil from above. Oh, do open thy precious testimony. O wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers. O wilt thou grant many empty vessels, the vessels that are full. Ah, they can be filled with so much, but that they may be emptied by thy Spirit, to make room for that holy name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. O wilt thou so go from bench to bench, from chair to chair, and from dwelling to dwelling, wilt thou grant a holy attention, and make the devil ashamed, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. For Christ's sake only, amen. Psalter 416, the stanzas 1 and 2. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. And what follows, Psalter 416, the stanzas 1 and 2. And this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, what you can find in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, the verses 6 through 8, where God's word and our text reads thus. I open to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Our text words speak of the guilty, ashamed, and distressed bride. Three thoughts. In the first place, the seeking bride. In the second place, the chastised bride. And in the third place, the charging bride. The guilty, ashamed, and distressed bride, the seeking bride, the chastised bride, and the charging bride. Thus first, the seeking bride. Beloved congregation, the book of the Song of Solomon, that speaks of Solomon and his bride. And to that end, many times we overlook that fact, and then immediately we focus upon Christ and his bride. But let us also remember that this book has much practical instruction for husbands and wives, for their married life. And then we read in this book that the bride and the bridegroom, that they have complimented and praised one another many a times. Then in this book, then we read of Solomon and his bride, first of their courting and their engagement in the chapters 1 through 3, the 5th verse. Then in the chapters 3, verse 6 through the first verse of chapter 5, then we read of marital bliss. And now in our text words in chapter 5, the verses 2 through 8, that a cloud has come over this marriage. But I read in Ephesians 5, verse 32, when Paul was given to speak of marriage, the duties of husbands and wives, that he has spoken, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ. And now in this chapter, then we read that precious things are spoken of the bridegroom of the church. Oh, that the bride, after a time of backsliding, that she was given to confess, that she was given to speak so preciously of her bridegroom. My beloved is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. But before we come to that text, then we do well to consider what has went before, that she has made that precious confession, and how concerning the beloved and the Savior of the church. Ah, that was the question for so many souls in the time of the Reformation. Oh, in the Middle Ages, they are called the Dark Ages. And the times before the Reformation, when it has broke loose, what we may remember in this day, that the Lord has used Martin Luther in a special way, when those 95 theses were mounted, nailed to the Church of Wittenberg. Ah, that it was clear that it was not the work of Martin Luther, but that it was the work of the Lord that he has wrought so wonderfully. Oh, in that time, it was a very dark time. The church was rich. Many people were poor. Many sins were committed. Not so many godly examples. And the Bible was not in the hands of the people. That was forbidden. Then the church was in the midst of Egyptian darkness. And yet in that time, the Lord had a remnant. The Lord was still working. In the church, there was still a remnant that were not only busy with the temporal things, but that were busy with their never-dying soul. Ah, there was much sincerity. Many people, what they have done, that their soul may be saved. Ah, there was an impression that this is not our abiding city, but that we are traveling to a never-ending eternity. How is it with us, congregation? We also live in dark and serious times. But are we now busy with our soul? And do we need a beloved one to save our soul? Or are we so busy with the earthly things that we actually have no time to think of our soul? But oh, may it be impressed upon our hearts that there is but one step between us and death. And even if we may become 100 years old, what is that compared to a never-ending eternity? Oh, in the time of the Reformation, there were troubled, there were seeking souls. God had become real, their sins had become real, and they had an impression that the justice of God needed to be satisfied. And oh, then those troubled souls, then the Roman Catholic Church, they were given to speak of beloved ones. Oh, they have mixed grace and works together. Does not mean, congregation, that in that time that the church did not speak of grace and did not speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have told the people that their works had to be added. Oh, that people, they were in the workhouse. How distressed they were. Boys and girls, read the history of Martin Luther. How hard he has tried to please the Lord, to satisfy his justice. Oh, how do we compare? Are there souls in my midst that understand something of the life of Martin Luther, that you have tried so hard to satisfy the Lord, hoping to become holier and holier, and a guilty sinner still? Oh, in the Song of Solomon, then we read of different people in the church. But now in our text words, we have the bride that has experienced wonderful things, that has been united in marriage with the bridegroom, that has experienced such precious and wonderful things. Ah, then I hear a few daughters say, ah, that is what I need, that is correct. Rest not till you may hear it out of his own mouth. And now in this chapter, in verse 1, then she has eaten with the bridegroom, she has dwelt with the bridegroom. Oh, she has experienced the wonderful things of free and sovereign grace. But now in verse 2, then we read of something else. The bridegroom was on a journey for the welfare of his kingdom, for the welfare of the bride. And now he has returned in the night watches, covered with dew. And then we would think that that bride would be eagerly waiting for him to return, that she would have looked out of the window of former times. Then it has been so. And when she saw the bridegroom coming in the distance, she has run out of the door that they may embrace one another. But now in our chapter, then we read of sad things, because we read, I sleep, but my heart waketh. She was still awake enough to hear the voice of the bridegroom, still awake enough to realize that things were not so well at the moment. She was not where she should be, and still so sleepy and so drowsy that she remained where she was, maybe a soul that understands it. And now the bridegroom has come. Oh, if the bridegroom would only find her with a little child on her breast and busy with the cares of the family, then he would have been well pleased. But that is not how we found the bride. What a blessing it is when the bride of Christ may be busy with the children of the church, the spiritual children, exercised with the coming of his kingdom. Ah, that she becomes tired because of the wrestling with the Lord. Oh, then the bridegroom shall be well pleased, and then he shall open the door and come in unto her, and then he shall speak comfortably to her, and then he shall embrace her. But now the bridegroom has returned, and the bride, lying on the bed of slothfulness, prayerlessness, unthankfulness, oh, it can be multiplied out, that she was not so busy with the bridegroom and his kingdom, but that she was more thinking of herself, resting on her bed. And then the bridegroom, then he has come, because he has come to the door. But what did she say? Did she now come in the guilt? Did she now come with tears, confessing her sin, her slothfulness, that she was not a bride as she ought to be? No, she was filled with excuses. I have put off my coat of zeal, my coat of love, my coat of prayer, my coat of thankfulness. And how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? We must come to our text. But before that bride, by renewal, whether she was given to speak, oh, it is true, the church, there can be a contemplation of the truth, and they can speak of those precious things, but that it is all formality, that it is so cold. But now for the bride in this chapter, before by renewal she was given to speak and to praise her beloved, then she has come in the need, then she has come in the guilt. Oh, it has become an unbearable need, and that is so necessary for the church. Each time by renewal, with a confession of sin, oh, on her bed of sloth, then she was not willing to sacrifice. In former days it was so different. Nothing was too much. Then sometime busy by day and by night. And now she was satisfied, to say it simply, with a marriage license in the cupboard that she was a bride, but she was not seeking that communion. Oh, what an instruction for the church of God in the different conditions of life. Can also be that with those daughters, that they are so satisfied with what they have experienced, satisfied with the experience of their misery, tokens of as good, but that they have not become their bride. And now the wonder. She was still given to say, oh, her heart was stirred up. That is already a blessing. When the heart of the church may be stirred, that it may become a little lively, then she is still said, my beloved, put his hand by the hole of the door. Ah, those pierced hands can be when the Lord, with his love, with his many tokens of his goodness and compassion, when it does not quicken the church and bring them on the right place, then he comes with the hand of chastisement and with the hand of afflictions, that they may come on that place, that they may be given to confess their guilt, put his hand to the door. And then when he put his hand to the hole of the door, we got to come to our text. Then my bowels were moved for him. Ah, that is so necessary for the church. Oh, that myrrh is a beautiful type of the work of the Holy Spirit, pointing to the precious meritorial work of the bridegroom, that he has loved himself to death, that that bride may be freed. Oh, what a dowry that myrrh points to, the precious dowry that Christ has paid for his church. And then her heart was stirred up, and then we read in our text, I opened to my beloved. Oh, church of God, what an examination then is necessary each time by renewal. What is our life? What do we live off of? What do we live out of? Do we live off of our experiences? Or are there those times that we need his blessed communion? Oh, that he may speak a word, that he may embrace us with his love, that he may give a new instruction, that we may be led further into the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. Oh, it is true in this chapter, it speaks of the bride, but what an instruction for the whole church. Oh, are we still lively with the things of the Lord? Or are we lying on a bed of slothfulness, still speaking reformed, but that we can continue so easy? Oh, even when that hand is placed through the hole of the door, when it may be declared the precious work of a triune God for the chiefest of sinners, ah, then for the bride, then she has come in the guilt. She was given to confess her sins. Oh, it was had I, how could I be so slothful when the bridegroom has done so much for me, when he has been so busy, when he was out for the welfare of his kingdom and for my welfare, that he has returned, that I have not embraced him, that I have been so prayerless and so thankless. But now what has become different with the bride? Oh, in the time of the Reformation, there were so many needy souls, and they needed instruction. And with everything they have experienced, there were many that said, you do not have to fear. Your life is an example. Thus for you it must be well. You must be a traveler to heaven. You have nothing to fear. Continue to do your best. Pray, repent, and pay much money to the church. But for those souls, it could not give that inward peace. Oh, for a Martin Luther, because in the time of the Reformation, There were still those souls that have experienced that it was grace and grace alone. Von Staupitz, an inspector of the monasteries, he hath pointed Martin Luther to the precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only foundation of salvation. But now for the bride, as she has come in the guilt, no longer could she live off what she has experienced. But, oh, surely she has shed bitter tears. Her sin has come to the forefront, lying on the bed of slothfulness. When the bridegroom is knocked, that she immediately did not go out, that she was not a waiting bride at the door, awaiting that he may return and that she may receive an embrace. But now the bride, it has become different. Ah, she has become needy. She has become a seeking bride, an unbearable burden. I open to my beloved. But my beloved had withdrawn himself. Why did the bridegroom withdraw? That she would come on the right place, that she would come deeper in the guilt, that she would be given to confess her backsliding. Oh, the Lord also in the life of his people, he does not step over their lukewarmness. It is the work of the Spirit each time by renewal to make room for the precious things of the Lord and to that end to come in the need. Oh, what a blessed place it is for the church when each time by renewal that need becomes need, that they are given to cry unto the Lord. Then she has come out of her bed. I open to my beloved. But my beloved, she was still given to confess that he was still her beloved. I open to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. What a deep word. The bride has made herself worthy that the bridegroom would disown her. The church, they learned that they commit adultery, fallen back on the law, the world, idols in the place of the Lord, idols in the place of the bridegroom. The church has to confess that their heart is so earthly, so carnal, and so vain. The church is given to confess that they are so dependent. Oh, not to excuse herself, because in our text, then we do not read that the bride has come with a list of excuses. No, she has confessed her guilt. She has come in the guilt by renewal. But on account of that love, the church learns John 15, verse 5, without me ye can do nothing. So dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit. Then she was stirred up. My beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him. Oh, are there such seekers? By the first time, of course, it is different in the life of daughters, in the life of the bride. In a certain sense, it goes deeper in the life of this bride that has experienced so much. Oh, read the former chapter when they have praised each other, and when the bride is some said, come, O north wind, and blow, thou south wind, that the spices may flow thereout, and that my beloved may come in the garden to eat his precious fruits, has experienced precious things. But now by renewal, to be seeking that blessed communion, I sought him. What are we seeking, congregation? What have we sought this week? be honest. Oh, are there souls that have sought for the Lord? Means we are missing Him. We have learned who He is, and of course, hope to hear more of those daughters later, different with the daughter and with the bride, but both to be seeking for His communion and for His favor and for the forgiveness of sins. Oh, for that bride. What a deep word. I sought Him, my beloved. She had spoiled everything. Bridegroom has done nothing but good. He has laid down His life, paid the price, such a rich dowry. The bridegroom has been so busy for her. And then He returned with the dew of the night. And she has not immediately jumped out of her bed. And now, has become guilt, has become need. All for that bride, that she may be given to hear His voice once more, to feel that precious embrace. Oh, that the bridegroom may instruct her and tell her what a precious price He has paid. Oh, that the bride may hear that they have been loved from that never-begun eternity, and that the bridegroom loves her still, but a Sodom, but he was gone, all her own fault. Oh, does the bridegroom then not love his bride? Oh, he loves her still, but in that way he is given to test the bride, that she may come deeper in the guilt, and that she may desire the bridegroom more earnestly. I sought Him, but could not find Him. Then we can understand, where was she given to seek Him? Oh, in the means of grace, the Word, the throne of grace, and therefore I called Him. We read that she went through the streets of the city, even in the night watch. Oh, she was no longer lying on the bed of slothfulness. Oh, those precious and blessed nights when the church may be exercised with the things of the Lord, when they are given to seek Him in the night watches, when it becomes lively, what we have sung together out of Psalm 42, Psalter 416, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O God, for Thee. O Psalm 63, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee, my soul thirsteth for Thee, in a dry and a thirsty land. Those are the exercises that the Spirit grants to His church, and not only for the first, but also by renewal. Our second thought, the chastised bride. The watchman that went about the city found me. In the time of the Reformation, they also had watchmen in the city and the church to watch over the church, but also to find seeking souls. And there are also many false watchmen still in our day. Do we not read in the Bible that sow pillows under all armholes, that give rest where there is no rest? What a light and what a wisdom is necessary to deal with souls. Oh, in the time of the Reformation, then there were so many watchmen that have not experienced the wonderful things of the Lord, that were so deluded by the instruction of the church. Of course, that people had not their own Bible to search whether those things were so. We do have our Bibles. It is so necessary that we continue to search God's Word to consider whether these things are so, how sinners may be saved, how we may receive that only comfort in life and death. Ah, then there were false watchmen. They did not even deserve the name of watchmen, but they have told seeking souls all the things they had to do, good works, undoubtedly have mentioned grace, but they have combined grace and works. Do we understand a congregation? Let us not place ourselves above that people. When the Lord begins to work, then what a mixture there can be works of works and grace. And then later when that people may be given to look back, then they are given to see that they resemble many souls and a Martin Luther in the time of the Reformation, that they have tried so hard to please the Lord with their works and so to satisfy the Lord they called it grace. But now the watchmen that went about the city found me, of course, not only watchmen that have found them, but there are also others. Ah, when the world, when they meet the church, when they are not on the right place, what a puzzle it can be. And then the world can have questions. You do not seem to be so different than the true bride, than the world. Ah, the devil, what a questions he can come. For that people that come in the guilt, that the devil tells them, you have sinned too much and too long. Oh, he shall never knock on that door no more. It is clear that you were none of his. Oh, give it up. But now we read in our text words of the true watchman of the city of God, the watchman that went about the city, found me. Does not say that that bride found those watchmen. Oh, undoubtedly she was ashamed to even look at those watchmen. She had sinned it so away, her slothfulness. But the watchmen that went about the city found me, and they smote me. How were they smitten? Ah, then that watchman has asked the bride hard questions. Why? She was not in her home with the bridegroom. Why she was wandering about the street in the night watches. And then the bride had to confess, tell what she has not done and what she has done, and how the bridegroom has come, that he has come to the hole of the door. The watchmen, they went about the city, found me. They smote me. They wounded me. Oh, the bride in such a state, the church, then they are smitten with rebukes, with reproofs, many times wounded with chastisements. Ah, when the Lord comes with difficulties, say it simply, a dead cow, you can multiply it out in the business, in the family circle. Ah, then when that church may come on the right place, then it is not a question why, but then their sin comes home, their slothfulness on the bed, seeking rest, not so exercised with the coming of his kingdom and the glory of his name. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. and we do not read that that bride has come with a list of excuses before those watchmen. The bride did not say that what we find in the church, that they leave their first love, and that there comes darkness, slothfulness. The bride did not find portions of Scripture and say, "Watchmen, have you not read of what Noah has done? David, have you not read of Samson? There is no perfection. We have that warfare with that triple-headed enemy. The Lord has not given two heavens upon this earth. There is much troubles here below. Thus never a perfect bride. I am also imperfect." And we can become so weary of that strife that we seek a little compromise and a little rest as watchmen. "You must not deal so harshly with me." We read so often of those things in the Scriptures. No, the bride was silent when the watchman has smitten her and wounded her. She was given to bow, guilty. All her own fault, all a privilege, that she may even have a place in that city. That those watchmen did not seize her and carry her out of that city, that the watchman has said, "Such a one may not have a place in the city of God." The watchman found me. Still an encouragement for the church. When the Lord is dealing with her, even in the way of rebuke and in the way of chastisement, oh, still a token that the Lord knows of them can become a wonder at moments. But now further than we read, the keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. That veil was given to the bride for beauty. That veil that was a token of subjection. As we read in 1 Corinthians 11, that veil was a token of her brideship, a token of assurance. Thus the keepers had taken that veil away from her. What that must have been for that bride. Oh, that need. How unbearable. If her beloved, had she but went to the door immediately. If her beloved had only been with her. Oh, then her bridegroom would have answered those watchmen. Ah, then that bridegroom would have said, "Oh, we have a bride that is indeed black. And a bride, not a bride as it ought to be. But I love my bride sincerely. Loved her in the council of peace. Loved her in the fullness of time. Oh, loved her when I have hung on the cross with my pierced hands. Oh, I love her so dearly, I have paid such a price. And although, oh, that bride in chapter 1, verse 5, I am black but comely. Oh, had the bridegroom only been present, then those keepers would have never been allowed to take that veil from her. But now, as she was without the bridegroom, walking, seeking, crying on the streets of Jerusalem for her beloved. And then in verse 8, then she did not speak to the watchman. She was given to speak to the daughters. Let us first sing. Psalter 72, 1, 2, and 3. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, and seek my face. And what follows, 72, 1, 2, and 3. The guilty, ashamed, and distressed bride. The seeking bride, the chastised bride, And now thirdly, the charging bride. Thus then we read, congregation, before the church is given to say in truth and uprightness in the way of experience, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s, that something has went before. So it was also in the time of the Reformation. Oh, Martin Luther, when he was in that tower, and out of Romans 1, verse 17, a word the gospel was opened up to him, and that he has experienced that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Why was it that for a Martin Luther, that was such a holy zeal and was such a love, that he was given to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ? Why was it that Martin Luther, that he was willing to sacrifice everything, even his life? Martin Luther did not expect to die a normal death, but that he would be martyred, because a Martin Luther has learned what it is to be a lost sinner, to labor under the wrath of God, to become a seeking soul. And he has experienced, oh, if anyone has learned in a special way, that we cannot be saved by our works, by our prayers, and by our repentance, then it was surely a Martin Luther. But then when the gospel has been opened, when it has been applied, oh, then it was his vehement desire that gospel may be preached to all creatures. Ah, for a people burdened with their sin, with their guilt, and with their transgressions, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. And now this bride, then in the night watches, then she has met other people on the streets of Jerusalem, the daughters of Jerusalem. Who are now those daughters of Jerusalem? Daughters are not born a bride, but daughters need to be born. And now those daughters of Jerusalem, they have experienced a new birth. And they desire the sincere milk of the word. Must be a beginning. Does not begin with verse 10. Does not begin with the marriage. But it begins with the birth. Have we now been born again? That is where it begins. To receive those new desires and new longings. And then we shall turn her back to the world and set her face Zionward, and to learn that we need the Lord. But when it is well, then daughters, they grow up. And then there comes a time Lord has created wonderfully, that there comes a desire that they may receive a husband, daughters of Jerusalem, that they need a bridegroom, a provider, and a protector, and those spiritual daughters, that they need a Savior, that they may be saved from their sins. In our chapter, then it is clear that these daughters, that they have been led a little further, not only a desire for a Savior, but that they have come to a certain knowledge of that great bridegroom. Because when the bride when she speaks to those daughters, all many times the bride, the further led, they have more hope and more expectation for those daughters than many times those daughters themselves, because by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit, then those daughters learn what sinners they are. But now the bride, when she said, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved," then it is implied that that bride may believe in what a blessing it is when those daughters may be led a little further and they may receive a glimpse, a sight of that bridegroom who was able to deliver them, to save them to the uttermost. That is clear in our text words. Because otherwise that bride would have had to explain who her beloved was and also what he looked like. And then those daughters, it is true in verse 9, they have questions about the beloved of the bride, but they do not ask who he is and what he looks like. And now in our chapter, then the bride and the daughters have met one another, both seeking, both in need, and the night watch is seeking for the things of the Lord. And then, of course, congregation, if you had to draw a picture, because for that bride, she did not have to ask those daughters whether they were daughters. That was evident by their life, by their walk, and by their seeking. And if her children had to draw a picture of them, then they would not draw daughters with a short dress and short hair. That is clear. Because those daughters, they have been wrought upon by the love of God. They have learned to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And they need that bridegroom. Ah, those daughters, they learn more and more that with their life, with their repentance, that they are guilty sinners still. Are there such daughters in my midst? Seeking daughters. Oh, with the need that have tasted of the sweet things of the Lord, born again. And those daughters, they shall find their life in the Scriptures. There shall be time that they say, "Oh, Lord, if that is now the life of those daughters, then I have a little hope that I may be included in that number. But, oh, Lord, I am so poor and so needy. And my sins, that separation." Ah, then the bride and those daughters, they have found each other. For those daughters, we must close. Lord willing, next week fits in with the Reformation. Oh, that the reformers, that they have proclaimed, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. Then free and sovereign grace was glorified. But what a privilege when the bride and the daughters of Jerusalem, that they may find each other in the night watches, that they may be given to remember one another at the throne of grace." Ah, for those daughters, what a shock it must have been that they found the bride without a veil. Assurance, subjection. Oh, how the devil it can use it. Was seeking souls when God's people have not such a close and dependent life. Not so separate that the devil says, "There you have it now. That is now the work of the Lord. Oh, it is best that you give it up." But what a blessing it is to find each other in the night watches. And when the daughters may be given to commend the bride, and the bride, the daughters, spoken of those daughters, received a certain knowledge, we could speak of engaged daughters that have received the promise, but still not the bride. We must close. Then the daughters, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that bride has come so low that she has sought the help of the concerned church, that she may find her bridegroom, be reconciled by renewal. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye cannot deny, your heart was stirred up, that is a blessed place. My beloved, though find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Congregation, that is a sickness that no one has ever perished of. We must close. May I ask you, congregation, what are you seeking? Are you seeking the things of the Lord? Are you seeking to be reconciled? Who are your beloveds? Oh, a blessing. We have said at the Song of Solomon, husbands and wives read it together, just thinking about marriage, then there is much instruction. And then maybe also reasons to come into guilt, to confess sins to one another. Are we seeking it in the world? Can those beloveds help you when you come in need? When death comes, then they shall all fail. But the beloved of the church, he has purchased his people for body and for soul. And now this sickness, we shall close with that text, this sickness which the bride is speaking of. Then Christ has said concerning Lazarus, John 11, verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of those in the night watches on the streets that had a great need of the eminent desire, a missing, and that were given to use the means, the more established and the concerned church, they have found one another. They were given to esteem one another better than themselves. Lord, wilt thou work those wonderful things thou hast wrought so wonderfully in the time of the Reformation, and that so many souls through the preaching of the gospel were brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Lord, may it please thee to then work almightily in the midst of us and our children, that in this day, that many sons and daughters may be born in Zion, but that there may also be a growing in grace. Lord, watch over us in the furtherance of the Sabbath day. May we and our families be given to keep it holy. Wilt thou bring us under the means of grace by renewal in this afternoon hour. Grant traveling mercies to and fro. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 17, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Jehovah will a refuge prove, a refuge strong for all oppressed, a safe retreat where weary souls in troublous times may surely rest. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following. The Lord willing, there will be a combined youth group meeting this coming Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Pitcherview Church. Psalter 17, 3, 4, and 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.